Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And why is that necessary? And how do we find it? Actually, it's in the pages of the Bible, but the Bible must be properly understood. And unfortunately, in some Bibles, they have enough changes and things in there which are not with the original that causes problems in understanding about God's way. And so it's reduced down to a very simple little thing, which is, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and you say you confess your sins to him, and you say, I believe you're my Savior, then you are saved, your sins are forgiven, and you are sealed for all eternity.
The moment you accept Jesus Christ, eternal life begins, and eternal life cannot be interrupted, no matter what you do, no matter what you do.
That, my friends, is one of the greatest con jobs in the world. Now let's look and see when Christianity started. We find that in Acts, the second chapter. And let's see that to repent means you understand that you have sinned against God, and sin is the transgression of the law, and you've broken the commandments of God, and I don't know what your life is like. But today there are so many people out there whose lives have been virtually destroyed by living in sin for such a long time, it's hard for them to even grasp and understand that they can come out of it if they really come to God with all their hearts and mind and soul and being. See? And this was quite a thing, because this was on the day of Pentecost, just 54 days after Jesus was crucified, and 50 days after he was raised from the dead. That is called the Feast of Pentecost. And at Jerusalem, there were thousands and thousands there. And think about the 3.5-year ministry that Jesus had, and how many people that he had contacted with his preaching and his teachings and the disciples, and coming up against the religious authorities of the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees who were hostile and against him, and the Romans. And here, after he had been crucified, dead, raised from the dead, then on Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit. Because you cannot be any of God's or Christ unless you have the Holy Spirit of God. Now, he's willing to forgive, but you have to repent directly to God. You don't have to go to a little cubbyhole booth and confess your sins to a so-called priest. You do it directly to God, and you understand that the shed blood of Jesus Christ, yes, indeed, was the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all human beings, all mankind. So then, God gave the Holy Spirit to the 120 that were there on the day of Pentecost. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. Why? Not in tongues, not the gibbering that Pentecostals say is speaking in tongues, but in other languages so that those who were there at the temple could be preached the truth in their own language. And that's what it says if you read it. And then Peter talks about the sacrifice of Christ and why he had to die. And then he says this in verse 36. Now apply this to yourself and think about it and ask God to help you understand about repentance, that it is really turning to God completely. And that's how you come out of this world. That's how you come out of her, my people. So this is what happened when the Holy Spirit came, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with full assurance that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, what does that mean? We're going to see that every single one of us, our sins required the death of Christ in order for his shed blood to be applied to us. And remember the first words that Christ said when he was raised up on that cross and looked out on the people. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They were all driven by Satan the devil to kill Christ. And they gave themselves over to it. And when you give yourself over to it, you're responsible for what you do. Yet he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. So let's come down here and read a little bit further. Verse 37. And after hearing this, they were cut to the heart. That means you have to come to the point to see yourself for what you really are. And that you repent. And your repentance is going to bring you to tears. And you understand as you examine your life according as you look at the Ten Commandments of God. Because sin is the transgression of law. And all the lawlessnesses and things that you have done, whatever it may be. And you confess them to God. He will forgive your sins. But you have to take the next step. You can't have the simple little church formula that most Protestants have today, and bingo, everything is okay. No, not indeed. You've got to come to God because God, in forgiving your sins, as we will see, is going to apply the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to you personally, as if you killed Christ yourself, which you had your part in it because of your sins. So verse 37, now after hearing this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. And repent means to stop the way you're going, stop the way you're living, turn completely around, and come to Christ and set your life in order according to the Scriptures and Word of God through the power of God's Holy Spirit, which he will give to you. We will see that in just a little bit here. Okay. Said, repent and be baptized. Now, we'll talk about baptism, and baptism is full immersion in water because it's a complete, as we will see, covenant death, symbolic death. Each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you yourselves shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the power of God, which God uses to convert you and transform you and renew your mind and give you the spiritual power and ability to love him and serve him and do the things that God wants you to do. But you have to set your course and your mind and your heart that this is what you're going to do, because this is forever. Now then, let's come back here to Romans, the third chapter, for just a minute. When you repent, you are accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as the sacrifice of God for your sins, and he is going to blot out your sins through the blood of Christ. Now, how could his blood do that for everyone who comes to God? Well, it's this way. Before he came in the flesh, Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament and hence creator of all men and women. So therefore, his shed blood covers the sins of the whole human race for those who repent. But now the time is God is calling. A few are accepting the call. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because few truly repent. Okay? Now, the first part of chapter 3 shows how, then, the whole world is in sin. Okay? Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God. Now, that means the righteousness of God for justifying you. Now, you get into some of these technical terms, and sometimes it gets a little hard to follow. But being justified means put in right standing with God. Because if you're living in sin, you're in wrong standing with God. So the only way that is made right is to have that forgiven. And the only way that that is forgiven is through the righteousness of God. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God that is through the faith of Jesus Christ. His faith in doing what he did to make it possible, and your faith toward Christ in your repentance so that you can have forgiveness. Toward all, that means everyone and upon all those who believe. And here's something about belief in the New Testament. If you believe, you must have action. When you disbelieved, you had action to sin. When you believe, you have action to obey and to love and to serve. We'll see that in a little bit here. And upon all those who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned. Circle that. Every single one. Now, let's stop and think for a minute. You might say to yourself, well, I haven't lived too bad of a life. I'm a good person. It says all. That's why you need to examine your life and see how many sins you really have. Now, it is true that there are varying degrees of goodness and evil within different people's human nature, depending on what they give themselves over to do. But none of that actually counts toward eternal life. Because even the best, and this is why there's the book of Job. You couldn't find a better man than Job. But what was his problem? He thought he was so good, he was as good as God, and in some cases better than God. So Job had to repent. He said, I repent in sackcloth and ashes, and I know that no thought could be withheld from you. Why? Because he came to see that all of his righteousness, though it was what God said you should do, because of his attitude and self-love and self-dedication and raising himself up to the level of being God because he thought he was so good, was sin. So it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only way out of it is repentance and baptism with conviction, with truth, with honesty, with learning of God's way, learning of the truth of God, living by God's way, because what is happening is this. When you do that, you stop living the way of the world, and you turn around and you come out of her, my people, and start living God's way. The way of truth, the way of love, the way of understanding, and the way of blessings that comes from God. And that's going to be quite a thing. Now, in some cases, may not be easy. In some cases, you may make a lot of enemies by doing that. But what you're actually doing, you're turning from being an enemy to God to becoming one of His. and your friends and the way they were living in this world become enemies to you because you have changed your way of living from the world's way, Babylon the Great, to God's way, living in the world but not of the world. All right? Now notice verse 24, but are being justified freely. You don't have to go pay anything to the priest for masses. Freely. By his grace. And his grace is not to be defied. And that little formula that Protestantism has is defying the grace of God, because it doesn't bring people into the covenant relationship that they need to be through baptism. By his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God has openly manifested as a propitiation through faith in his blood in order to demonstrate his righteousness or justification in respect to the remission of sins that are past. So when you stop sinning, then you have to do like it says here in Romans 2 and verse 13. Because the hearers of the law are not just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. See, here you are living in sin, okay? Now you repent. And repentance means stop sinning. Quit living in sin, all right? That means then you start keeping the commandments of God and you are a doer of the law. Shall be justified. So then, let's go back to the simple little formula that we just covered here. They never stop living in sin because Sunday keeping is sin. Regardless of how good they may think they are or are doing, they are no different than what happened with Job. See? Now, as we saw, tells us in the Psalm that God will be near to those who are broken heart and broken spirit and tremble at his word. Now then, when you repent, it can be a traumatic experience. You can probably have all the sins of your whole life flash before you, and you confess them, and you abhor them, and you ask God to forgive them, and he will. Now what do you do? Repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. Now let's come to chapter 6 of the book of Romans. Let's see what baptism really is and why this is so important. Now then, we'll just take a little sidebar here for just a minute. What if I gave you $10,000, crisp bills, and you took them and said, thank you, oh, I got $10,000. But you take them down to the bank, and they run them through this counting machine, and they're all rejected as counterfeits. What good did that $10,000 do you? None. Likewise, if you have a fake counterfeit Christianity that you're involved in, what good does it actually do you? None. Now, if there are some people you could trade with those counterfeit bills, you might get a little benefit for a while, right? But in the long run, spiritually before God, what good does it do you? None. So likewise, let's see what Paul wrote concerning baptism, because it is a covenant that you make with God. And a covenant means that you are pledging your life with this water baptism, and that's why it is a watery grave. Christ gave his life, didn't he? Are you not willing to accept his sacrifice, his death, and his resurrection? Yes. Well then, since God is not going to take your life because you need to grow in grace and knowledge, he wants you to give a symbolic death. In other words, a complete pledge of your truth and sincerity in being baptized. Now think on that. Let's read it here. Chapter 6, verse 1. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Remember, what is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law. You cannot keep breaking the laws of God. Notice, Paul says, may it never be. We who died to sin, how do you die to sin? It's the symbolic death of baptism. We'll see it here. How shall we live any longer therein? Or are you ignorant that we, as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Now, that's really something when you understand it, see? Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through the baptism into the death. The death, and that's in the Greek, means his death. For the forgiveness of your sins. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, in the same way, we also should walk in newness of life. A new life. If you come out of her, my people, then you quit going the way of the world. You quit living the way that the world is, and you start living God's way. How do you find God's way? In his word, in his truth. We have many publications to help you understand it. And remember, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And remember, Christ was the God of the Old Testament. And every word that he spoke, as you find in the Gospels, is the word of God that proceeds out of his mouth, correct? These are the instructions that God has given us. That's why it's written down, preserved. Now notice verse 5 and how important that baptism really is. For if we've been conjoined together in the likeness of his death, because Christ died for the sins of all human beings, and God's plan is greater than you think. It's just not to reach out and save a few now. It's just not to save you and leave everybody else out. But he's calling you to have a part in helping convert all others who never, never, never had a chance. Oh, wouldn't you like that? Yes, indeed. For if we have been conjoined together in the likeness of his death, so when you go down into that watery grave, God symbolically conjoins you to the death of Christ. And think of that. That is profound. That's why it is a covenant. It's not something to be taken lightly, but it is so great and profound and meaningful. And this is what you need in your life to come out of Babylon the Great. This is what you need in your life to have your sins forgiven. And this is what you need in your life so you can walk in newness of life according to the word of God, according to the commandments of God, according to what is written in the Bible. And remember, there is not one lie in the truth. Now, preachers who take God's name in vain can make the truth lie by only giving you a little bit of it and thinking that that's all you need. That's not what the Bible teaches. Then it says, so also shall we be in the likeness of his resurrection, eternal life. Spirit, mind, spirit, body, live with God. Think of that. Help save the whole world. Reign as kings and priests and teachers and things like this. During the millennium, to bring salvation to the whole world? That's what God's calling is all about. Now notice, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was co-crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed. Put sin to death in your life, so that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. See, because when you're in the world, regardless of how good or evil you are, you're enslaved to your sin. Because a lot of the goodness that you have is not the goodness of God. It's the goodness from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so you're still in sin, though it appears good. If you don't believe that, look at all the sin and all the evil and all the wretchedness that now comes out of Disneyland. And where did it start? It started with Mickey Mouse. What is it now? Witchcraft, Satanism. Oh, yes, and we'll have to talk about Satan, because now you're going to have to resist Satan, the devil. Now you're going to have to fight your human nature. So baptism is so important. So that's how you come out of her, my people. So you write for the book, Why Were You Born? From a speck of dust to a son of God. Why Christianity is failing in America. All about water baptism. And be sure to go to our other website, truthofgod.org. There we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages to go into the Bible in depth, almost the whole New Testament, verse by verse study, so you can learn, so you can grow, so you can develop spiritually and overcome and learn of God and learn of His ways and learn why there's the Sabbath and the holy days. And all of these things are great. Some people come along and say, oh, that's all old-fashioned and done away. Well, that's what they're trying to do to God, isn't it? No, they are eternal because they come from the eternal God and are ever necessary and ever applicable to every human being. So that's what you need to understand and know. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.